Today's program is brought to you by Q Drinks, carbonated mixers made for your cocktail. Visit their website at qdrinks.com. That's Q, the letter, drinks.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Hey, Souther.
Hey, buddy. Haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
I know. Sorry I missed the show last week, man.
It's all right. It was crazy. Reynolds was here.
Dude, I'm really sorry I missed that. Although I did run into him last night at Boilermaker, so I made up for it.
I'm sure he did.
And we didn't get to talk about our limo ride.
No, that's right. We spoke about it briefly. I said you got kidnapped by him and tucked into a limo.
Yeah, but I wanted to be there for that.
That's all right. But you were in the Hamptons.
Yeah, I was on a little work retreat. Marketing strategy kind of thing. It was cool.
All right.
With my buddies at Brooklyn Gin. That was a good time.
Brooklyn Gin. Mm-hmm. Those guys threw us a couple bottles for the party last week for Heritage Radio Network.
Thank you.
Thanks to you Gin. And thanks to Michael Neff, who I randomly ran into on the streets and told him about the party, and he gave us some booze. So
that's great. He's the best.
And then I didn't get to go to the party because I had to work, and you were out of town. So we weren't even at the party that we supplied all the booze for. But everybody had a great time, as far as I know.
That's the way it goes, man.
It is.
So we have a show today. I'm welcoming myself back. Actually, it's kind of funny. The last time we talked about this bar was almost to the date 4 years ago. It was January 16th, 2013, where we had our buddy Rosser Lomax in the studio, who had just helped open the Third Man.
Right, East Village. Bar,
East Village. And it's been 4 years, man. Time to catch up on this.
That's crazy. Yeah. So in studio today, we got Daniel Bedoya, who is the lead bartender at the Third Man. Welcome, Daniel.
Welcome. Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good to see you.
So what's going on at Third Man, man?
Yeah, what's changed?
I took over the program about 5 months ago, mm-hmm. With the idea of taking up the Cactus up a notch sort of thing. Again, as I was telling you earlier, I don't know how the menu was being operated from the beginning. I know that Kasia had been doing a great job. When I came in, the Cactus weren't... I guess the owner wasn't as happy with what was happening with the Cactus program. So I'm kind of tuning everything up. I think what I'm doing is I'm just doing this like little funky, weird cactus program. I have things like red bean cactus, pandan infused cactus with moonshine. I don't think you see much moonshine around.
It was kind of around for a while, like when all these distilleries, especially local distilleries, were getting started. They had a lot of like moonshine and like White Dog whiskeys while they were aging the rest of their whiskey. So it was pretty. It's kind of cool. Like you remember, like
a little cyclical, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I definitely had a lot of white whiskeys on the bar at Rye years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing like so it sounds like more of sort of a culinary approach to cocktails. Is that your background? Where are you from?
No, I've only been in the industry for only 2 years. I'm a baby in the industry, literally. And I just it's I don't
better,
know. I
better got, than being like an old fuck like us, man.
Hey, man, and I'll take the experience any day. Yeah. I've been in the industry for 2 years. I bar backed for six. Actually, the first bartending job that I got in New York was at Jaybird. What is now Seamstress.
Oh, yeah. Were you back there when Latrell was running that show?
He wasn't around, but he was a opening mixologist or owner, right?
I think he was just on a consulting team, but yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and that was my first bartending job and first like mixology-driven cocktail bar where I worked, and it like opened up my eyes, and I completely fell in love with it. Before that, I was just doing margaritas at a Mexican bar in Allentown, Pennsylvania, actually.
Allentown.
Oh, is that where your accent's from?
Colombia.
Colombia. Well, that's not an Allentown accent? No.
After that, I worked at Analog, this jazz bar in Greenwich Village. I don't know if you know Cliff Mejia, David Bonatesta from the. He's now a Nomad. I met this amazing guy as well. His name is Mike Bunn. He actually is running the bar program at Olmsted. I don't know if you've heard of Olmsted.
Yeah, of course.
All amazing guys. After that, I worked at Lumos, the Baijo bar, ran by Orson Salicetti.
So you did all this in a span of 2 years? Wait, you said you were a Jaybird. Jaybird was...
I was a Jaybird for 5 months.
But how long ago did they end? I'm trying to put the timeline together.
2 years. I mean, it seems...
So that's kind of right when you started and they ended right then. Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you did a lot in that 2 years, it sounds like. Gathered a lot of stones.
I definitely worked with amazing, amazing bartenders, amazing people that really like dedicated time into me and made me work my ass off.
That's what it's all about, man.
Yeah. Get ground to a powder and then make something out of yourself. How did you wind up being at the Third Man? This is owned by the guys right next door, Edie of the Wolf, which has been in the neighborhood for some time now as well. And like, great restaurant right next door to a great bar. Like, how did you get yourself into that program? How did you get to the top of it?
So I was working at Analog. I was barbacking for Cliff. And there I met Camilo Lopez, which got a job at the Third Man sometime last year as bartender. And then Eddie, he opened a new location called Schilling. In a financial district. So he grabbed Camilo to run the program, the bar program at the Schilling restaurant. And then a few months back, five months, 6 months ago, he said, hey, I want someone to take over the program at the Third Man. Do you know anybody? And Camilo was like, well, yeah, my roommate, Daniel.
he's actually, right place, right time.
Yeah, he's actually looking for something. Give him a shot. And here I am.
What kind of shot did you get? That's a booze joke.
I was kind of going to ask something similar. Like, how did that work?
Would it be mezcal?
How did that work? You just rolled in and made some drinks for the guy, or you talked to him? Interview process? Like talk to people who are young like yourself, and they're trying to get there as well. What steps did you have to take to acquire this position?
Of course, I met up with him. He kind of tried to read me quick and asked me about my cocktail philosophy a little bit. I think it went something like that. And he's like, hey, listen, you know what? You come up with 4 original drinks. You have a week to come up with them, and then we meet, and you make them for me. They have to be beautifully presented. They have to, taste good. Do it. He liked to say, he's like, I want you to forget, about mixology-driven. I want it to be chef-driven, which I feel like it's a lot the same.
There's a strong connection. There should be, at least, between the front and back of the house.
Yeah.
I mean...
He's like, I want them to be chef-driven cocktails, and just impress me. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And I did it. I made 4, and the guy really liked them. He was like, all right, do you have the job?
What were some of those drinks?
One of them, the one that he liked the most, was an infused pandan with moonshine. Then I made this, my homemade peach puree with some, with some Austrian brandy that they had, just to kind of get on his good side. I told him, "Hey, I use Austrian brandy." he definitely loved that.
Play to your audience, man.
Yeah. And then it was the homemade peach puree. It was pandan infused moonshine, coqui rosa, lemon, and then I just used drops of Luxardo Maraschino to round it all out. Honey. Shaken on a coupe, and I actually got grapefruit juice as well, and I garnished it with oils of a grapefruit peel.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty interesting because you smelled, and all you smell was kind of grapefruit, which kind of throws your mind off. You're like, oh, I'm gonna drink grapefruit, but then you drink, and then you get this peachiness, and then this funky coconutty finish of the pandan.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So he was blown away by that one.
Is that one still on the menu? Can I go get that one?
I took it off just because I was noticing that the East Village is not quite ready for pandan.
Well, right down the street, I think they do some stuff with pandan and mace, no?
I think, maybe, yeah.
Night to see.
Yeah. So,
you know, the egg's been cracked. You just got to get in there and make it out. Yeah.
Last time I was in there was a Christmas-themed bar.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, I went finally this year.
Did you make it to Miracle?
Yeah,
I made it to Miracle. Such a fun time.
Yeah, it was great.
We're thinking about getting Mother Pearl on the program next year.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
For the Sippin' Santa's...
really?
Sippin' Santa's Surf Shack, whatever it's called.
You're going to do the same thing at Mother Pearl?
Yeah, like Boilermaker does. We're talking about it.
Awesome.
May as well. Get on board or get knocked off.
Yeah, candy cane striped swizzle sticks.
Yeah, we have it all already. Why not?
Yeah.
So what makes you so, you know, how do you... I was a chef for 12 years. Do you have any of that kind of background?
I do not. I think what you're trying to get at...
You're just in there tinkering around.
I actually came to New York to be like a photographer. I love photography. And I also have asked myself that question. I'm like, how did I even end up here? like, so into it.
It's good to ask yourself that every once in a while.
Yeah, I say, all right, what am I... It's been
every
2 years.
Every 3 to 5 years.
What am I still doing here?
Yeah, how did I get here?
I'm like, it's been 2 years, and, like, I haven't picked up my camera in, like, fucking 6 months. But I think it's, you know, in all arts, you have to find, like, for example, for me, when I was studying photography, you have to find out why it is that certain pictures look good and what are the components that make pictures work and others not. And it was always, I think to me, has always been about the question of like, why? Why it is that why is it the watermelon goes well with rosemary? Why is it that tequila goes well with lime? And whenever I was barback, you know, working with other bartenders, and they would make things, these cool cocktails like this, and I would try, they would explain to me what's happening, and like, I would feel it in my, I had never thought of my palate really like, as much. And whenever I started getting into this, whole like industry and world of, your palate, I started developing it and just like feeling, just like tasting, and that blew my mind. And to me, it's always just, I guess, being about that, just like tinkering around and wondering, like, why is it that certain things go with another? And
yeah, there's
getting me curious.
There's some really interesting books and articles that have been written about these different flavor profiles that work together that, like, you wouldn't necessarily think, you know.
Flavor Bible. Love that book.
Flavor Bible.
Oh my God, yes.
There's Tony Conigliaro's book, which actually breaks it down scientifically.
Yep.
Like, yeah, it's like why does coffee and banana work together? It's like, but like weirder stuff than that.
Yeah, of course.
Like mushrooms and like truffle and cantaloupe.
Yeah,
like there's I think that's one of them. Yeah. It's like kind of weird, but it actually works in a really bizarre way.
Yeah, that's definitely what I like to just finding like weird things to make go together.
Walk around candied ginger. It's my jam.
Candied ginger.
Well, you know, you could consider, obviously, come on, man, right now is the time. If you're a photographer, pick up your fucking camera and start an Instagram. Do you have one?
I have, yes.
Start taking photos of your cocktails. That's what half the people out there are doing anyway. Just make them nicer.
Yeah.
And you could crush two sides of the fucking
street.
Definitely
working on that.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, man.
Like, I see a bunch of people out there who are just enthusiasts of drinking who take a lot of pictures of their drinks, and they have
Daniel Krieger is one of my business partners.
Thousands. Oh yeah, no kidding. But like,
I see it all the time.
But like thousands of followers. Kyle Ford, you know, most of his pictures are just a picture of a martini, but he's got like 15,000 followers on Instagram.
Tristan Willie too. I mean, like he's.
Oh yeah.
He's a really sick photographer. He's been out in New Mexico for the last couple of months, but he's doing mostly landscape.
In New Mexico,
stuff.
Arizona.
He's from Albuquerque. It's just like the photography side of it is like, it's huge, man.
Yeah, I know.
Then you can shoot your own damn cocktail book.
No, yeah, that's, I mean, I do that mostly for like social media and for fun and to like help promote the bar through my Facebook and my Instagram. But yeah, I mean, it's only been 2 years. I feel like I'm finally finding that balance between the both and dedicating enough time on both.
Yeah, well, you know, we talk about this a lot on the show. It's like, it's a difficult thing. As someone who's been in this field for as long as we have, I'm sure it's equally difficult for someone new because you're all jazzed up about it. But like, a huge struggle that I go through is balance. Like, I wish I had a hobby like that. I'm trying. Trying to have hobbies outside of what I do.
I just moved to New York.
Otherwise, I'm just always working, which I super enjoy. That's the hard part. I really enjoy what I do. So then I think of it as my hobby. But then when I look back on my weeks that just go by, I'm like, okay, well, I did the show about drinks. I worked at the bar about drinks. I'm now the president of the USPG about drinks. I went to two events last night that were both about drinks. Like, that's my life. That's all I do. So, like, it seems like someone's lobbing you a gimme. Here's a great way to use the two things you love and put them together.
Yeah, I definitely should be feeling thankful.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jordan Silbert, founder and CEO of Q Drinks. We're proud to support the speakeasy. At Q Drinks, we make spectacular carbonated mixers, crafted to mix with your favorite spirits. Based right here in Brooklyn, we're available nationally in 6 flavors, including Q Tonic Water for spectacular gin and tonics, and Q Ginger Beer for spectacular Moscow Mules. I started the company after a night in my backyard with good gin, really good friends, and lousy tonic water. I realized the world needed better mixers, so I made them. Q Drinks uses real ingredients, a lot less sugar, and a lot more carbonation. The result? Clean, crisp, spectacular beverages that bring out the best in your favorite spirits. Using Q Drinks, it's easy to create terrific drinks with just 2 pours. 1 to 2 ounces of your favorite spirit, and 3 to 4 ounces of Q poured over ice in a highball glass. It's simple and spectacular. Q Drinks. Make your drink spectacular. About the deeds that made you old. Oh, shatter me,
sweep me up into your hands, then scatter me. So, going back to the flavor profiles and balances, is there anything that you've brought from, like, I know I tend to go back on, like, flavor profiles that, like, I grew up with, like, growing up, you know, in the country, and, like, I like kind of boozy, bitter, barbecue ready things, you know. Is there anything that you brought from like Colombia that you are using in your recipes?
So not yet.
I mean not cocaine.
Right. You got a coca leaf that is not muddled into the bottom of
that
my
is
mojito.
Not a salt rim, guys.
I got a coquito over here.
Not yet. Again, I feel like my whole life I was just being like eating just because you need to eat and like very automatic. And I was very like really thinking about flavors.
That's interesting. I mean, you're not the first person I've heard.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's kind of like if you didn't have to do it, you wouldn't.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, we all love meat and like I fucking love meat and I eat it and I need to eat. But like that's it. I wasn't really thinking about like, oh, let me see how this like, I don't know, tomatoes taste right now or like next to this compared to whatever else. But the way that I've been doing, the approach that I've been taking now is if I find something interesting on the street or I have this weird ice cream with this, like, that's how I found out about pandan. I was eating ice cream in Chinatown. Mm-hmm. And I was like, pandan, what the hell is this? It tastes so, like, it's funky, it's weird. What is it? But it's because I got into, because I'm into the this, like, world now that I think a little bit more about it. So, yeah, it's just like a day-to-day type of thing. If I find something that's funky and new, like I play around with that, yeah.
I think it's interesting. You know, like, to me, I've been thinking about this stuff for, like, my entire life, you know? Like,
same.
I don't know. I've got, like, a backlog of all these flavor profiles and things, but it's interesting to talk to someone who's new to it. You know, it's great. It's like
just building.
I feel like you know you're right. I've spoken to some people who come into it late and didn't really put a lot of thought or effort into it in the beginning, and now they're like turning that switch on. And I feel like those folks, yourself included, probably have a little bit more of an adventurous side. That I've already got preconceived notions where I might say I don't think X and Y will work together, and you're like, I don't know why they won't, so I'm going to try it anyway. And then you're like, holy shit, people love it. I love it. It's great.
Yeah, I feel like usually that's when like great things happen because, you know, you weren't thinking about this before, and that excitement of like, oh, holy shit, you find something out that you didn't know before, and
yeah,
your brain works in weird ways, and you create something.
Every taste is a new adventure.
Yeah, right?
Know? Like, and especially, I mean, you couldn't have picked a better city to move to, I mean, as far as that goes, because, geez, we get everything here.
Yeah.
We can get everything. We can convince everybody to try it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like, I don't know why I always pick on Des Moines, Iowa. I've never been. But I always say, like, it's like Des Moines, Iowa. Like, I don't think you can get everything. And even if you could, I don't think you could convince people to try it.
I said that about Gary. I used to be a Gary, Indiana guy. And then I found out that there was this really amazing, like, gourmet, like, marketplace thing that, like,
crushes it.
Yeah. I was like, shit, I had to find a new town. Now it's like, well, I don't want to pick on Lawrence, Kansas. I still owe the police some parking ticket money from way back in the day, like 20 years ago.
They've forgiven you by now.
Well, I've not gone back, so I don't want to get busted for that. Anyway, so yeah, Des Moines, Iowa, whatever.
I think honestly, I'm a pretty solid example of that myself. And Maury Margo, like, that's a fucking bumblebee, man. It should not fly, right? I have so many weird things on my bar that people don't recognize, and they come in because they're excited to try something that they've never tried, or to taste some combination of things that are all things they've never tried, so they don't even know what it should taste like separately, you know?
I was there last night, had that Florio Fernet.
Oh, yeah. Cool, it's back. It's been out for a while.
Florio Fernet, what is this?
It's another Fernet from Italy. It's a little bit lower menthol, kind of a bracing, sharp aloe and eucalyptus flavors. Like, it's lip smacking, sticks to your lips. But that's been out for a while. I haven't been to the shop in 2 days, so I didn't know it was back. That's great.
I went there for you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you looking out for me.
Hey, man.
Yeah, so you're doing some culinary work. Where are you doing it? You guys have a kitchen? You guys serve food?
Our kitchen is served from Eddie and the Wolf.
From next door?
Yeah.
But it's literally right next door, right? Shares a wall?
Yeah, basically. No, it doesn't. No. It's like next, down the street. One street.
Two doors down?
Yeah.
So they run the food over outside?
Yeah. I feel bad for the runners when it's snowing.
That's what I was about to say. What about the snow? Yeah, they fucking got to do it.
We did that. Guys are troopers.
When I worked at ZZ's Clam Bar, you could order from Carbone and they would bring it over. It's kind of like the most luxurious thing.
That's amazing.
I just love the idea of, like, waiters like running food down the street. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. They have a blast.
Nice.
What's the menu? Is it the full menu from? No, it can't be. I haven't seen it's
a smaller, more compact menu. Pork schnitzel, burger, ribs, and fries.
Bar food.
So the pub food, the pubby half of.
Still with this Austrian, little.
Of course, yeah. I want to get that schnitzel burger. I'm into it.
It's good. Man. It's definitely good.
Love schnitzel. Cool, man. So are you, what's going on right now with the winter menu?
The last change I did, I was a little bit more focused on happy hour. Because when I came in, again, this is my first gig, like managing anything or doing a complete menu. And I'm definitely like learning through mistakes.
Yeah, that's how we all learn.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the biggest things that I kind of did was I changed the happy hour. I tried to like play it simple, but I think I played it a little bit too simple. And I was doing this like build your own gin and tonics. And you can,
right, I saw something about this.
Yeah, yeah.
And on you the can, old Facebook.
Yeah, and you can add like, you know, whatever ingredients, cucumber, mint, basil.
And like Spanish style.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Which, you know, to me was fun.
But it was self-serve, right? You did it yourself as the guest. Oh, that's at least how I read it. Is that how it worked?
No, but you get a list of the ingredients, and you can just tell me what you want, and I do it for you.
Yeah, it's like a choose your own adventure kind of thing.
I did kind of think about like having like the gin and tonic bar where you walk up to and it sounded cool too, but it just seemed like it would be a catastrophe.
Catastrophe. Yeah.
If it gets a little busy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always mind-boggling to me when I go to those Bloody Mary bar places. It's just a train wreck. That sounds like such a great idea. Sounds like a great idea. Never translates.
Yeah, so I did that. I took away all the cactus that they had, and I just put gin and tonics, beer, and wine. But then I definitely noticed a shift in the like people and clientele that would come for happy hour, and it definitely like kind of lessened a bit. So the latest change that I did was I added two cocktails. It's one of the best sellers. That is, it's honey nut old fashioned. It's peanuts, very simple peanuts infused with bourbon, honey, Angostura bitters. That one is selling like freaking hotcakes.
That's funny that that should be the high seller with peanuts in it.
I know, right?
With all the claims of peanut allergies.
That many people have peanut allergies, that many see, I think.
Yeah.
They like to talk about it enough to where you think everyone has it, like it's a fucking epidemic.
Right.
Sorry for any listeners out there.
They don't even allow peanut butter in most grade schools anymore.
I know. It's tragic, man.
It's insane.
It's iconic, man. That's like...
Right?
Grew up with that. That was like basically the only thing I ever ate.
PB&J, baby.
Maybe that's why I don't have that allergy.
Right? Inoculate yourself.
Yeah.
So the gin tonic happy hour, are you saying it wasn't good? It was kind of a fail?
I think it was just like, you know...
Because I fucking love gin tonic. I went to and it changed my life.
I think it was just like... There weren't many options. It was just like either you have a beer, wine, or gin tonics. And people are like, well, I don't really like gin. Not everybody likes gin, I guess. I mean, not everybody likes everything.
That's the voice of someone new. Yes, gin is pretty polarizing.
So I added this... I had an old fashioned, and then I added one more. That I'm actually super excited about. It's not my original recipe. I borrowed it from a friend, the guy from Olmsted, Mikey. The original recipe, it's a rosemary-infused reposado tequila, Aperol, a chipotle simple syrup, some lemon shaken with basil, and a cayenne salt rim, right? Simple. So what I did is it's the same recipe. I added yuzu to it. A touch of Campari just to make it a little bit bitter, and I flambéed the salt with I found out in Eddie and the Wolf's kitchen, I found out this peppercorn called Timur peppercorn. So it's the brother of the Sichuan peppercorn, and when you bite into it, it's super citrusy, and it's like you're biting onto like a miniature grapefruit that just like explodes and then gets your tongue a little like tingly. So I was tinkling around, and I found that, put it in my mouth. I'm like, holy crap, this is cool. And I knew that it was going to go with that. So what I do is, again, I flambéed the salt with cayenne, absinthe, cardamom, and Timur peppercorn. And then, you know, shake the cocktail, rim it. And then I just throw one little peppercorn on the drink. So I tell them, sip on it. And then eventually fish it out, put it in your mouth, and bite it. And then everything just blends beautifully with that drink.
Say the name again. Tibor?
Timur. It's T-I-M-U-R.
Timur.
It's from peppercorn. Nepal. Yeah.
From Nepal. I'll check into it.
So people are going crazy about that. They love to fish for the little peppercorn bite, and they're like, oh my God.
Cool.
Interactive drinks, man. Get your guests to play along.
Yeah. There was a debate that I was having with it was me and Joaquin Simo and Eric Castro, Polite Provisions, and we're talking about like olives in the martini or skewered, and Eric was like, it's like, I don't skewer them, man. They go in the bottom. It's
yeah.
Like, you got to work for it.
That's right. You got to get to the bottom of the glass.
Interactive, man.
Soup.
There's a prize in the bottom.
Yeah, it's like cracker jack.
Exactly. Castro. So just for everyone that's listening, Damon and I know exactly where you are. Where are you in the East Village? You're on 7th and C?
Yes, Avenue C between 7th and 8th.
Right side. Right next door to Eating the Wolf. What time is happy hour?
It's actually pretty long happy hour. It's from 6 to 8.
6
no,
to 8?
No, I'm lying. 5 to 8.
5 to 8.
5 yeah. to 8. That yeah. is nice. Every single day?
Every single day.
Friday, Saturday as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Saturday happy hour.
The happy hour game in Avenue C or the East Village, I guess, it's like everybody has amazing happy hours. It's like you have to stand out somehow.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that I noticed. You know, you have Summit that has most of their cocktails for half price, really good cocktails, half price, and I'm giving people gin and tonics. Like, people are like, no, I'm gonna pay the same $7 to have a legit cocktail. I mean, I don't want to put down gin and tonics, but
was it the $6 Sazerac or $7 Sazerac? Who does that?
Chris Hanna at the Arnaud's French 75 in New Orleans.
Oh crap!
No.
A little far.
In the East Village.
I don't know. I want to know. You tell me. Let's go there.
Place on the corner. I don't remember. But anyway, just like I just like the alliteration of it. $7 Sazerac.
Yeah, man. I never thought of that, but I'm pretty sure the last time I was at Arnaud's, that's what it cost there.
That's just because everything's cheaper in
New Orleans. That's true, of course, but still.
And also, Chris Hanna probably just hooked you up.
Oh, Hanna. Thanks, buddy.
He's the best. Well, speaking of happy hours, actually, this Monday, you're going to be hanging out with us over at my bar at Grand Army.
Are you going to be behind the bar?
I will be there.
Awesome.
I will be there. I won't be behind the bar.
Oh, okay.
You'll be behind the bar. But we'll shake a few drinks together.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm excited. I have never been. I was looking at it online, and it looks great.
Awesome, man.
Well, super excited.
Can't wait to have you there.
This is going to be Monday from
5 to 7.
5 to 7.
Happy hour.
Monday. I'll be there, too. Why not?
Yeah, you don't work.
I don't work on Monday.
Oh, great, man.
I'll come, too.
So we'll have some dollar oysters and some of Daniel's cocktails from The Third Man, and we'll just have a good old time.
Bring your camera, buddy. Take some photos.
Yeah, dude. Seriously, that's a good idea.
From behind the bar, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Just
shake and snaps.
Yeah. Hey, man, if I could do it on a motorcycle, you can do it with a cocktail.
That's right.
Cool, man. Well, I guess that's about it for this week.
Yeah.
You should check out... Everyone go check out Third Man in the East Village.
Yeah, do you guys have a website you want to drop on us real fast?
Yes, the Third Man NYC.
ThirdManNYC.com, all spelled out, Third Man, not 3RD. So ThirdManNYC.com. Go see Daniel Bedoya over there. Drink some honey nut old fashions. Sounds delicious. Speaking of the East Village, before we wrap up here, coming up this... where's the date? It's Monday, the 23rd, right? Well, two things happening on Monday, the 23rd, that I want to talk about. As your USBG New York City chapter president, it's our monthly meeting. It's going to be at Botanic Lab inside of Casa Mezcal, which is right on my street. It's 86 Orchard Street. I live just a block down the street. It's going to be sponsored by Creyente Mezcal. If you're a member of the USBG, please join us. If you're not a member of the USBG, please join us. You get one free meeting. Come see us and see if you want to join us. And become a member. Beyond that, Tuesday, January 24th from 6 to 9 p.m., the Chartreuse Hot Chocolate event with Tim Master, who was on the show a few weeks ago. My bar is going to be making a great hot chocolate variation. Other bars that will be there are Maya Well, PDT, Pouring Ribbons, Sauvage, Goodnight Sunny, Saxon and Parole, and the Wayland, with an ice carving demonstration from Okamoto Ice Carvers. Additionally, we've got the USBG meeting on the 23rd. At the Botanic Lab at Casa Mezcal, which is just on my street at Orchard Street, 86 Orchard Street. And that's going on from 1 to 4. So USBG meeting Monday, Chartreuse Hot Chocolate Tuesday evening. Come out and see them both.
Chartreuse Hot Chocolate?
Chartreuse Hot Chocolate. Yeah, it's a yearly event.
That's stuck in my head right now.
Yeah, man. Tim Master, who has been on the show just recently, he hosts this event every year. It's outdoor in the park. He gets some kind of special license so we can all drink out there. We get an ice carver. It's a crap ton of fun. This year, I'm making a mezcal and chartreuse. Oh, I'm making yellow, green, and mezcal chartreuse.
You're doing a disco ball?
I'm calling it a discoco.
Discoco.
That's an amazing name.
And I'm also making chartreuse, both yellow and green marshmallows to go with.
Yeah.
Because that's my jam from the kitchen, right?
We did. We had a chartreuse Christmas Eve thing with Tim, and we did a hot chocolate with like cayenne and green, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Chartreuse marshmallows. What
yeah, man.
The hell?
Yeah.
I used to make them. I love it. He's new.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm so new.
His eyes wide open. Yeah, I used to make them long ago when I worked at a bar in Williamsburg, and that was on our winter menu.
I'm going to steal that idea.
Spicy bourbon hot chocolate with chartreuse marshmallows.
I need chartreuse marshmallows.
Steal it. It's fine. There is no stealing, only taking and changing and improving. Anyway, so that wraps up the show. I don't have anyone to plug for next week, so I'll have a surprise guest next week. So tune in for us next week. Yeah, and if you like this show, please go to heritageradionetwork.org, tap on the beating heart in the top right corner, and donate to keep us pumping, and also listen to hundreds and hundreds of more shows just like ours. Thanks for tuning
in.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please Join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.